Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
May be seated, church. Good morning. How are you? I have a wonderful and I have a lot of silence. Are you tired? Yes. Is it a good kind of tired? Amen. Well, we're going to talk about that today. And hopefully it's an encouragement to you today. Welcome to Holland Chapel. So thankful that you are with us today. Last week, if you remember, we kicked off just this short little summer series titled Sacrifice. And last week, what we did, our hope was, well, was that we built serving up in such a way you would view it as a sacrifice. And we said for the next 3 weeks, we're gonna elevate serving. We're gonna elevate sacrifice. We're gonna elevate laying our life down for the cause of Christ. And if you remember last week, we said that God desires, He wants you to offer yourself up as a living and holy sacrifice, that you would say, Lord, here I am. Here's all of me. Use me in every way possible, that you would be a living sacrifice. And then we said holy, right? To push away the sin in your life so that God can use you to your greatest potential. And hopefully last week, man, that stirred something in you. And I know, I thought long and hard about last week, and at the beginning, if you remember, we went over the excuse list, church. That was tough to say, tough to hear, because it was coming after my own heart as well. But hopefully, at the end of last week, you said, "Okay, Lord, that's it. No more excuses. Like I'm done making excuses as to why I'm not going to give my life over to you in service." So I really do hope and pray that was an encouragement to you. But if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down today, okay? And I'm going to make this promise to you. Today is going to be an encouragement. I want you to write this down. Serving or sacrifice, however you want to write it, is a blessing. Do you believe that? Yes. Serving, giving your life to the cause of Christ is nothing but a blessing. It is a blessing, church. So today we're going to hopefully speak encouragement to you. We're going to lift you up. We're going to remind you that giving your life to Christ in service really is a blessing, even if you are really tired and wondering, is it really? Serving is a blessing. What I want to do is I want to list off some areas of service, of serving here at Holland Chapel. Please know that this is not an exhaustive list, that I'm probably going to miss an area of service. Are you okay with that? We're going to talk about that in a minute too. But I want to list off some things because, church, I think it's really important for you to hear of what your church, your body of believers that you're a part of is doing all the time in the name of Jesus. So, not an exhaustive list. I just want you to tune in. Be encouraged by this. HC Kids volunteers. HC Kids servants. Those from rocking babies to teaching lessons to greeting out front to the check-in people. There are so many volunteers that serve and give lots and lots of hours to HC Kids ministry. HCSM, that's Holland Chapel's student ministry. From kitchen crew to small group leaders, you're a blessing, HCSM leaders. You really are. Prayer team volunteers, those that are formerly a part of that team or have been, or those that just say, you know what, maybe my body is failing and I'm going to offer up my time, my ability to pray for my church, for my leaders, for God to move all the time. Thank you, those that make prayer a priority. The carpenter crew. You've known this church. This building is aging. That's why we're going to build a new one. But they certainly do a good job of keeping it as nice as possible. Amen, church. Are you thankful for them? It's a lot of work. Carpenter crew, thank you. New Believers class teachers. We've got two of those classes going on today. You're going to hear more about that in a little bit. The grounds crew. I don't know if you've driven around the lot of Holland Chapel, but we own acreage, and that grass grows, and they work in the hot summer sun to make sure this place looks good on the outside. Are you thankful for them, church? The grounds crew, they do a wonderful job. Limitless volunteers, those that serve our ministry to children with special needs. We're so thankful for them and all the time and effort and energy that they put into that ministry. Your worship band, who you just saw, a portion of them. I don't know if you know this, but they stay late on Wednesday night, and they're the first people here on Sunday morning, serving, sacrificing to lead you to the throne of Jesus. Amen. Are you thankful for them, church? They do an awesome job. Sound and tech, they are up there making sure you can hear me and the band and have notes on the screen. Those that build PowerPoints oftentimes last minute because I send it to them on a Saturday night, like typing it up for you to see on Sunday morning. I'm so thankful for each of them. The welcome team, can this church tell the welcome team welcome right now? Welcome. Yes, we're thankful for them. Every single Sunday, making sure that you, members and guests alike, walk in here and are met with a smile. I'm so thankful for them. How about this one? Treasurers. Treasurers, today is your day. You may have never been spoken about from the stage. Treasurers, thank you. Church, We've got to write checks. We've got to pay the bills. We've got to handle business, and they do that, and we're so thankful for them. Oftentimes, they get a phone call last minute in the afternoon. Hey, we need you to sign a check real quick at the church office. Can you come up here? I'm sorry you're at work or whatever. I'll be there, and they drive up here to do that sacrificially. We're so thankful for them. Your deacons here at Holland Chapel, which that word simply means servant. We have wonderful deacons here at Holland Chapel, and you may not know this. Our deacons are on a rotation, and every single Sunday, one of them shows up here really early to meet with me in the office to pray over the message that you're about to hear. I'm so thankful for them, church, and their desire to serve you and the kingdom. You have wonderful deacons here at Holland Chapel. Elders, those that are not paid to be your pastors. I'm so thankful for those three men who serve alongside us tirelessly to lead this church. I'm so thankful for the elders here at Holland Chapel. Growth group leaders, there's a lot of those. Life group leaders, there's a lot of those. Connect group leaders, there's a lot of them. And I'm so thankful for their efforts every single week to organize and carry out our group's ministry here at Holland Chapel. I'm going to brag on our church for a little bit. Are you okay with that? Can you tell I'm excited? I've lost my voice. It's been an awesome weekend. Are you pumped, church? Man, God is good. And I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. Here at Holland Chapel, with our group's ministry, we average over 75% of our congregation are plugged into group's ministry. Church, that's unheard of. It's unheard of. Yes, God's good. We put so much effort into getting you connected far beyond this gathering, because that is really where your faith skyrockets and takes off. Like, we're so thankful for that. Growth group, life group, connect group leaders, thank you, high five. I'm going to say names right here. Gordon and Teresa Gardner, who clean this church for you. I'm so thankful for them. Yes. Think about how hard it is to keep your square footage of your house clean. They keep this place clean. This morning, I had to go around Gordon as he was sweeping the hallway. I said, serving is a blessing, isn't it, buddy? He said, hang on, I got to think about that for a minute. They serve you, church, behind the scenes all the time, and I'm so thankful for them. And then, of course, I have to mention Amplify Weekend, what we are in the midst of right now, still, really. All those that sacrificed long hours, tireless hours, doing whatever, putting ice in ice chests so the volunteers and those attenders could have cold drink. Those that drove around in trucks and side-by-sides that picked up other people's trash so this place looked pretty clean this morning. Thank you. For those that serve behind the scenes, backstage, serving those, food, whatever it is, thank you for serving. And I will say this, I'm grateful to God that he cooled the temperatures off just a little bit, right? I'm going to say that's not by accident. How about that? You okay with that? It's a little super spiritual, but that's good. We're in church, right? And God looks after us. Church, this place is full of people that serve King Jesus. And I'm going to say it again. Serving is a blessing. Serving him is a blessing. Giving your life in service to King Jesus is a blessing. And everything that we do for him, we are to do with gladness. Serving King Jesus, listen to me, is not a heavy burden that we have to. It is a precious privilege that we get to. Amen? We get to serve him. We don't have to. We get to serve Jesus. And it is a privilege, child of God. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. The burden is light. Serving him is a privilege. But have you ever forgotten that it was? Have you ever forgotten that serving him is a blessing? Have you ever become overwhelmed by the task or the weary eyes or the tired soul that you have forgotten that serving him really is a blessing? I want to read a passage of scripture, Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10. It reads, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. I'm going to say that again. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, as long as you have breath in your lungs, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Many are tired. Many of God's children are tired, especially after a weekend like this, or especially after a life of faithful service. I can assure you, church, if you want someone to relate to, like if you've been giving, if you've been serving, if you've been sacrificing, and you're just tired, I want you to find a pastor and I want you to talk to them. There's not a pastor on staff that cannot relate to that. Like, well, we know what it's like to be tired. Like, we know what it's like to be run down. Like, we know what it's like to give everything that we have and just be exhausted in Jesus' name. Like, have you been there? Have you been there? And you wonder, is it worth it? God, like, is it worth it? Man, is it really worth the exhaustion? Is it really worth being tired? Is it really worth just being spent? And then we come across a passage of scripture like this that says, don't grow weary in doing what is good. Church, don't grow weary, for at just the right time, we will reap a harvest. Do you believe that time is now? I want to give you some figures. This morning, right now, in first and second service, we've started a new session of a new believers class in HC Kids Ministry. There are 8 children in there this morning. 8. You know what that means? 8 children were saved. 8 children this morning are going to start that discipleship process of what it is to follow Jesus. And I'm so thankful for God saving them. Amplify workers, I'm speaking to you directly. Are you tired? Give me something. Are you weary? Let me share these numbers with you. It's hot off the press. You may be asking, was it worth it, God? The initial numbers, and there's lots of follow-up, lots of conversation to have, but as it stands right now, 691 people were saved by our gracious God this weekend. Amen? So we can say it was worth it. And at just the right time, you'll reap a harvest. It's worth it. Serving is worth it. And God is faithful. Close to 700 people are going to be with you in heaven because of a sacrificed weekend. Amen? God's good. So whenever you sign up to serve in whatever area, whatever it is that God has gifted you to do, to use your talents in His name, we ought to do with gladness. Serve with gladness. I want you to write this down. Write down. Serve with gladness. We've already read it. We're going to read it again. Psalm 100. 1 in the first part of verse 2. English Standard Version says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. We always quote that scripture when we're talking about singing, but if you read a little further, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with gladness. Are you serving Him with gladness? We read in Scripture that Jesus desires a cheerful giver. Are you a cheerful servant? You see, He wants the heart, church. Like, He wants you to step forward in service with gladness. Whenever He's placed a calling, placed a gift on your life, He says, Luke, use it, but don't use it begrudgingly. Don't use it with a frown on your face. Like, Luke, use this giftedness in service to me with gladness. Are you serving Him, church, with gladness? Oftentimes, serving is much like a type 2 activity. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say, like, type 2 fun? I learned about this real recently, and I can relate to it so great. Type 2 fun is this. When you sign up for an activity, when you sign up for an outing, perhaps a family vacation, whatever it may be, and you think, this is going to be so much fun. And then when you step into the activity, you realize this is anything but fun. Have you ever been there? Moms and dads, like, we're going to go on a beach vacation, and all you do is babysit your kids at another location. You're like, man, it's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. Or you're like, man, I'm going to put a camp on my back, and I'm going to hike 10 miles into the woods, and I'm going to get one with nature. You're like, this is going to be great. By day 3, you're crying and you're lost. But when you make it out, here's why it's type 2 fun. Like, when the activity's over and you've suffered, you can look back on the activity with fondness. You know what a type 2 activity is now? You're like, while I was in it, it was miserable, but I'm so grateful that I did it. Are you ready to serve? You ready? Ask any toddler 2 room over there. They'll tell you. It's type 2 fun every Sunday. Serving God is often that way. You say, yes, sir. You show up and you do the activity. You do the mission. And you say, God, I'm going to complete it in your name. Whatever the task. Oftentimes it's fun, no doubt. But oftentimes you're like, Lord, really? Really? But when it's over, you can look back and your heart's full. You're glad you did it. You're glad you served Him. You're glad you said, yes, sir. It's oftentimes type 2, but serving Him, church, please don't forget, is a blessing. But why though, Pastor? Like, can you prove it? Like, you're saying it. You're a good cheerleader right now, but can you back that up with the Word of God? I want you to go to Hebrews. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to read 9 through 12. The writer of Hebrews says this. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts. in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull or indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. What a beautiful passage of Scripture, church. And I'll be real with you, up until about Thursday afternoon, we weren't going this way. And then I came across this and I thought, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this encouragement for your people found in Hebrews chapter 6. So what I want you to write down, this very first thing that we get from this passage of Scripture, straight from the pages of Scripture, I've got it written out this way, and I want you to hang on to it. God will not forget. God will remember. God will hang on to all that you've done. God will remember what you have done. So I want you to hang on to this, church. He sees everything. He knows what you do in his name. He knows the service that you've provided his kingdom. He sees it. And what we read here in this passage of Scripture, he says, he is not unjust. So what's the opposite of that? He's just. You see, his memory is connected to his justice. Because God is just, he says, if you do this, like if you serve me, if you give your life for me, I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to lock it away in my memory forever. What God stores, he stores for all eternity. So what you do for him in his name, he will not forget. Ha, church, does that encourage you? All the hours, all the tears, all the sacrifice, all the years of giving your life for him in service to his kingdom, he remembers all of it. Every last thing you do, he hangs on to it. And that should encourage you that our Heavenly Father does not miss a thing. He sees all of it. A wise man once said, like Adam Calloway, all steps are the same in God's eyes. He's not in here, maybe second service. He'll be encouraged by that. All steps are the same in God's eyes. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4. Jesus is teaching here on giving and serving. He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. So we see right here that there is a reward attached to what you do. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees what, church?
Everything
will reward you. Jesus is teaching, of course, on sacrificial finances, but also life. Of course, there's some things that you do in Jesus' name that are public. I'm preaching in public. Of course, there'll be those things that you do that others see. But Jesus is not talking about the audience of who it's done in front of. Jesus is talking about the heart in which it is offered up by. Like, where's your heart at? Do you serve so that those you serve can go, thank you. Man, you've done such a good job. Thank you for giving your time. Thank you for giving your energy. Because if that's what you're chasing, they'll let you down. Like, if you're chasing recognition, your pastor's going to forget to read what you do on a Sunday morning. Like, he's going to leave it off the page. And then you're going to be hurt. And you're going to walk out and go, man, he didn't recognize me. Your pastors are going to miss it sometimes, church. You realize that, right? Like, we're going to miss it. We're not going to see everything. Your ministry leaders, they're going to miss it. Like, they're not going to see everything that you do. Like, your family's going to miss it. Like, they're not going to see everything that you do. But why are you serving? Why are you doing that? Are you serving so that man can say, good job? Or are you serving so that the Lord will say, good job, my faithful servant. Great job. Like, is that why you do it? Because what we see in Scripture is that our Father in heaven sees everything. He misses nothing, church. He hangs on to it all. And he hangs on to it and he locks it away in his memory. And what we see here in Scripture is there is a reward waiting on you one day for what you've done in Jesus' name. Be encouraged that he sees everything. He sees you when you're busted up and broken and tired and weary. He sees you. He sees you when you're burnt out or on the verge of burning out. He sees you. He sees you when you are at the top, the pinnacle, like enjoying every moment. He sees you there, and he sees you at the bottom. And he will not forget what you've done. You may have left work early, found some change in your car, raced to Walmart to buy a 12-pack of Gatorade to drop off in the hallway just to see 1,000 Gatorades in the hallway. Well, guess what? God may have wanted 1,012 Gatorades. Like, he saw what you've done. And he knows what you've done in his name. And your reward is waiting on you. He will not forget anything that you have done in his name. But I've got to say this. I told you it was going to be like a cheerleader, like Bravo message. Because he sees everything that you've done, he sees everything that you have not done. Because he's just. That was last week. What's the excuse? Are you going to serve him? The next thing that we see in this particular passage of Scripture is that loving believers, loving others, shows, demonstrates your love for God. That loving those around you, especially those in the family of faith, shows your love for God. It demonstrates that you love him. Scripture says he won't forget your love shown to him by your service to others. We know that. I hope we know that. We see in Scripture that whatever we do for the least of these, we do unto him. Like, we serve others because we love him, and we serve the Lord with gladness so that we can glorify him. There's a great reward of blessing, church, that awaits those who lay down their life in service to the King. Will you demonstrate your love for God by your love and service to other people? And what I hope you caught out of this passage of Scripture is that the writer of Hebrews says there's something attached to this. Like, serving, of course, it brings honor and glory to God. But serving does far more for you than the one that you serve. Far more. The writer of Hebrews says, if you do all of this in my name, loving others, demonstrating your love for God, then, did you catch it? Go back and read it. Then you won't be indifferent and your spiritual life won't be dull. Did you catch that? You see, when we step forward and we love others, we demonstrate our love for them and love for God, and then the writer of Hebrews says it will benefit you, the one that's serving. Big question. Have you walked in here today feeling spiritually dull and indifferent? Dull and indifferent. I want to go back. I want to read that again. Where are we at? Verse 12. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. So that you can see I'm not making that up. Do you feel that way? Have you? Praise God. We got one that ain't feeling that way. If you've walked in here, here's the deal. Because for many of God's children, you feel this way. You hopped out of your car. You walked in here because it's Sunday and you come to church. but you are indifferent. What does that mean? If I get something great, if I don't, whatever. That's your spiritual life. Like, that's your spiritual life. Indifferent. Don't care. Might be a great day. Luke may be on it, or it may be a bad one. Like, Keaton may wow us, or, yeah. Which is never the case for him, often the case for me. Like, you're indifferent. If your spiritual life is dull, flatlined, indifferent, don't care, I want to ask the question, are you serving King Jesus? Are you serving him? Because what the writer of Hebrews says is that if you love others, if you serve others, you're gonna demonstrate your love for them, and you're gonna demonstrate your love for God. And when you step into that, you'll prove that your spiritual life is not dull or indifferent. Like, that's why we move forward in Jesus' name. But if you flatlined, it means, man, maybe I'm not doing anything in Jesus' name. You see how those are related? Like, you walk in here like, eh. Are you doing anything for him? Scripture says you step into service. You love others, especially those in the family of faith. You will not be dull. It means you'll be bright. You'll be shining. And you won't be indifferent. Like, you're going to care about the kingdom. Big question. Are you dull and indifferent? The writer of Hebrews says the reason, you're probably not serving. For those that are, you can echo the very first slide that you saw, that serving is a blessing. It is a tremendous blessing. And I want you to remember, God does not forget. So make sure that you're loving others so that you can demonstrate your love for him. God's good. If you're tired today, I want you to go home, make no excuses. Get on the couch, get on the recliner, take you a nap. Sunday is a day of rest, and God's people said, amen. Let me pray for you. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for the blessing of service. Thank you that we get to serve you. Of course you command it. But when you change our life, when you change our heart, we then see it as a privilege because of what you've done for us. Because of the sacrifice of your son on the cross and the salvation that we have in and through him. Because he died for me, I can't help but live for him. God, I pray for this church, my precious church family, as we recognize all the areas, and there's many more, that your people serve you. I thank God for them and their love for you. And I ask that you bless them. That you bring that reward here on earth as in heaven. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. And we praise you for saving souls. In Jesus' name, amen.